Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, Pete Fairbank, tough afternoon of baseball, kind of blew the game. How do you break it down for us?
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
All right, well, that's okay. I love that's honesty.
Tremendous.
The opposite of all-encompassing suck, by the way, lifetime Hall of Fame for Woody Paige, the Colorado Sports Woo! Hall of Fame, after 50 years, which makes us all say, what the hell were they waiting for? Woody Paige! Here's a 50-point bonus for 50 years.
Woody, you're awesome.
There's a game requirement.
Carpal tunnel syndrome situation for me with those 50-point bonus. Congrats, Woody. We'll start with last night's play-in. And another play-in casualty, Jimmy Butler. The fear is an MCL injury. That would be weeks-long injury. So, like Zion, certainly out for Friday's must-win game. We'll talk about that in a second. How the 76ers turned it on in the second half, just enough to emerge. That's where we begin. The Nicholas Batum game in the year of our Lord 2024. Harry Lyles Jr., you find yourself feeling better or worse about the Philadelphia 76ers?
Tony, this ain't what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. It was a little bit of both, because the 76ers looked absolutely atrocious last night, because the fans were booing them because they couldn't break a zone. They looked like a middle school team out there that had seen it for the first time. It was absolutely poor. They turned it over 8 of 12 times from that zone, and it carried over early into the second half where they shot 1 of 13. It wasn't until Nick Batum started knocking down threes, he had 6 of them, where they finally started to be able to break that. Obviously, Jimmy Butler was slowed down a little bit because of his injury, and Joel Embiid finally started looking like Joel Embiid late in the third and early in the fourth quarter when they needed him most. So I think it's a positive thing if you come out and you win a game like this where you have to figure it out and you clearly don't have things figured out early. I think it's bad because Joel Embiid still looks like a guy that is coming off of a long-term injury, and that does not fare well when you're going up against a New York Knicks team that is going to be able to throw a lot of big bodies at you.
All right, Hall of Famer, show them how it's done.
Harry, good job of giving us both sides of the argument and not taking an opinion. I would say this. Without Embiid, this team was miserable. It fell from a favorite to a flop. But what happened as a result of that is the trades they made really have brought this team together. You saw the new and the old last night. You saw why they were struggling in the first half, as Harry talked about. But they seem to come together in the second half and figure out exactly what they're doing. Using an old bromide from J.A. Adande, you got to win playoff games in order to win playoff games. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly
all
what
right.
they were able
last
to
Last night wasn't a playoff game. Night. It was the play-in game. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah. So you'd like to say a W is a W and feel good about that. Bill Plaschke, you feel better or worse about Philadelphia today?
Much better. Call me a Philly fanatic. I love this team. I love the fact that Embiid played a season-high 38 minutes. Yeah. I love that he scored 11 points in the fourth quarter. I love that they had the biggest comeback, halftime comeback of the season. Mm-hmm. I love that they won a game in a place where they lost the last three seasons. Their seasons ended with a loss on that floor. They came back in resilient and overcame the heat. I love the fact that they're 32-8 when Embiid plays. The Knicks have their hands full at this time.
And Kevin Blackstone, you feel better or worse about Philadelphia?
Oh, much better. I'll take the W, man. That's big at this time of the year, obviously. And you talk about Embiid, 25, 13, 5 assists. And the most important assist of the game he made to Kelly Oubre for the go-ahead three-pointer. So this team came together right at the right time in that game, and they came together because of the guy who makes them the playoff contender, the championship contender that they are. We've seen this from Embiid since he's come back from injury. He's been solid, and he was unstoppable when they needed him to be.
All right. I feel like I don't need to ask, but I feel like I need to ask. Miami without Jimmy Butler is what going forward, Bill Plaschke?
Done. Done and done. They are a minus 72 when he's off the court. If he can't play, they can't win. They can beat, they'll beat the Bulls. But they have no chance against the Celtics.
Woody?
They need him too much.
You give him anything that he can work through this with maybe a couple games off?
They could talk about Heat culture, but the most important part of that culture is the guy who's not going to be able to play. So, no, they have no chance. I don't even think they beat the Bulls. I actually saw the Bulls play two of their late games, and I was very impressed with them. I think they're going to give the Heat all they possibly could want. And without Jimmy Butler on the court, I just think they're a country without a man.
Our Lyles Jr.?
Yeah, I think this, you know, Heat culture, it's probably going to get you past the Chicago Bulls, but in terms of playing against the Celtics, like, man, I'm sorry. It's just the reason we had hope for this team last year when they were a low-seeded team was because of Jimmy Butler. The reason we had any hope for them this year was because of Jimmy Butler. He is one of the greatest playoff performers of his generation. If he is not going to be out, which it seems like it's going to be an extended amount of time, again, I think you could give them a game against the Bulls, because I don't know if the Bulls should necessarily be in this, but against the Celtics, it's out of the question in my opinion.
And when the report came out, it was an MCL. Jimmy Butler's agent said, hold on a second, we haven't confirmed that. There could be hope, KB. Do you have any hope for Miami?
Well, I don't have any hope for them if he doesn't play. They're 13-9, however, without him this year, so they have been able to get through some games, but this is a different part of
that
the year.
Next game, and that makes Friday versus the Chicago Bulls. Let's talk about the Bulls' win over Atlanta last night. The Kobe White game, as Chicago has some good momentum in trouncing Atlanta. KB, was this more about what the Bulls did or what the Hawks didn't and continually failed to do in the playing game?
Well, it's probably more about what the Bulls did, and I was trying to figure out why I was watching this game anyway with two teams with losing records. They didn't win 40 games this year. So I'm going to look at more what the team that won did going forward. And who knows, you know, maybe they can get by these next couple of games and move on. But you got to be happy for Kobe White, what a year he had and what a tremendous game he had.
Just a follow-up. In a year where you have two teams with losing records playing in the 9-10 game, do you think there should be like a little footnote that maybe we don't need to play the game? Is that what you're suggesting?
Exactly. I mean, the playoffs is for winners. It's not for teams with losing records. I just don't get it. We've extended it this far. Enough. Cut it back again. I know they'll never do that because of the money, but I just don't like the look of losing teams in the playoffs.
Harry Lyles?
Yeah, the play-in tournament is called the regular season, but that's another conversation.
I don't believe
that. I think it's everything about last night was about what the Bulls did. Obviously, the big performance from Kobe White. He's a great candidate for most improved player this year. Like, he's really stepped into his own, was a great player coming out of North Carolina. But I'm going to keep it local, word to Bill Plaschke, and I'm going to talk about the Atlanta Hawks, because this is a team that basically for the past 15 years has been running in one place, and that one place is between 38 and 44 wins a season. And they have been chasing this thing that they captured in 2021, where they made the Eastern Conference Finals, and Trae Young and this team that looked like a well-oiled machine, looked like it was going to actually be an Eastern Conference contender. And the last couple of years, it hasn't turned into that. So if you're the Atlanta Hawks, you need to either figure out a way to build a better team that is going to build around or work around Trae Young, because he's not just a scorer, but he's also a great passer, or you need to get rid of him, let him go be great somewhere else.
So you're saying it's still an either or. I want to hear if it's at that moment now, it's a break up the team situation, Harry Lyles. You're arguing both sides of the fence again here. Woody Page, I'll go to you.
Yeah, you beat me to that. But yes, they need to get rid of Trae Young. And I don't mean just throw him to the curb. I'm talking about use him as that asset that can get you four or five draft choices. What happened in Oklahoma City? They got all those draft choices, got a young team, started over again, and they won the Western Conference. So I think Atlanta has to do that. They are a team that's just a 500 team. I do want to defend, however, that teams with losing records get into playoffs. We've seen the Seattle Seahawks do that. We've seen it happen in the NFL. I've covered it.
Have you ever seen it in the NBA, Woody? Have you ever seen a team with a losing record in the NBA make noise in the playoffs? Bill Plaschke, I'll turn to you.
I watched this game and I thought they need to trade Trae Young. They need to get rid of him. He's holding this team back. He's arguably the worst defensive player in the league. They're the worst defense in the league when he's on the court. The last two games, they were -62 when he was on the court. He needs to be traded. Quinn Snyder can't build around him. He needs to go. And why not trade him to the Lakers?
Okay. All right.
There it is.
Lashkey 5, Lyle 0, Blackstone 10, and Woody Page 54.
Why can't I talk about the Lakers?
You can take off the rest of the show if you want, Woody. I think you're doing great.
I'll tell you that much.
All right, till next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The last 72 hours for Caitlin Clark, part of a draft with record views, an intro press conference with the Indiana Fever, the sellout of her official jersey to the point Fanatic says there won't be any available until August now, and the big shoe announcement with Nike. Reporting today, it's for more than $20 million. That is a week. Yesterday's press conference was noticed also for an exchange with Indy Star columnist Greg Doyle, an exchange viewed more than 42 million times on X.
I do that at my family after every game, so
okay, well, cool. Let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine.
The jersey, not just for the unprecedented record sales, but that delay in serving the demand. And the shoe deal has led to an examination of women's shoe deals currently and through the years. Bill Plaschke, what has this week been for Caitlin Clark and for basketball?
It's been transformative, Tony, in that the women's basketball popularity is going from the college to the WNBA. All those millions of viewers that watch the WNBA draft, remember, she was only the one person picked. There's a bunch of players picked. People are watching those players. People are buying those tickets. Teams are moving to bigger arenas to accommodate her. This is all moving from college to the WNBA. Now we'll see if it sticks. That's a big question.
Woody Page?
Well, I'm glad Bill didn't say she should be traded to Los Angeles. At least she's in a place where basketball is so superior. Yeah, I think that if you really want to look at it, when the salary came out, I went, everybody's getting all upset about it. She's going to make millions upon millions of dollars outside the game of basketball, which is incredible. And when you consider the shoe, there have been only two NBA rookies who've ever signed shoes, signature deals with the with Nike, and that was LeBron and Michael Jordan. That is an incredible accomplishment. She'll be the 12th in the WNBA to have her own signature shoe. And I think that this week has just shown that this quality of basketball, the quality of popularity that's following this game, I think it's fantastic for the entire country and particularly for the sport.
Ari Lyles Jr.
I feel like this week is probably everything she could have ever dreamed of. I mean, to me, it's one thing to be drafted number one overall, but to me, the Nike deal signifies something different, and it signifies, I think, something that people should look forward to with this and what we've been seeing, which is growth. The fact that she got a deal like this, Caitlin Clark is not a regular star. She's not a superstar. She is a rock star the way that LeBron James, at least in my lifetime, Kobe Bryant, Stephen Curry have been rock stars. Somebody that fills the arena, makes you go to a bigger arena, which we are already seeing teams do with the WNBA. So for me, I feel like Caitlin Clark, this is something, an investment that you're seeing from Nike that hopefully she's obviously going to benefit from if her promise becomes her potential, or her potential becomes her promise, and she becomes what we think she can be. I think overall this becomes great for women's basketball and the WNBA in particular.
Kevin Blackstone.
Well, this is great for Caitlin Clark. I don't think that whatever she's getting from Nike is going to be shared with the rest of the league. And let's not forget, you know, over the years,
women's sports, in particular women's basketball and women's soccer, have seen these sorts of rises in interest, right? The great sports scholar at Purdue, Cheryl Cookie, has studied this since 1989. And we've seen this rise, and then all of a sudden, there's a fall off. So let's see if this can be sustained. But what is happening right now is about Caitlin Clark. And she is being followed from the college game to the professional game, where now everybody's going to want to see her. But what is going to be important is whether or not everybody's going to want to see those who come behind.
I hear you say that, Kevin Blackistone. When I hear the word, is this sustainable or not, sometimes that's firmly placed on women's athletes. I don't view it that way. That should be placed on everybody. And I'll give you the example we saw at the press conference, which Greg Doyle, who's a star columnist in Indiana, has admitted to be an oafish exchange in his regard and has apologized. But you have a moment like that, or you have a moment with the jerseys where they're in business to sell jerseys, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we didn't realize we were in this big of a business. We won't get jerseys out until August now, which may be after Indiana's season, right? So you have these conversations where it's not just we put it on the women's athletes to be sustainable. I want to ask broadly to you first, Kevin Blackstone, if you feel like we're all up to the fight here to be involved in this situation.
Well, the only thing I can say is that if past is prologue, we are not, because that has not been the history. I can sit here and tell you that I got a ticket to see Caitlin Clark a year ago in a half-filled arena at the University of Maryland. I've gone out of my way to go
right. You talked to us about that. I want even more specifically
that.
In the members of the media, all right? What we're talking about here is, do the members of the media even know how to cover women's sports? Do the networks even know how to cultivate and grow the game? These ratings happened this year. Could they have happened earlier if other decisions weren't made? That's the question I pose to you as a professor of journalism.
Well, absolutely. And there is the argument made that if you cover it, we will come. And that is something that we have seen in this past college basketball season. That's something that we see every Women's World Cup. So the question is whether or not people will step up to continue to finance this, and whether or not media will continue to send people out to cover it.
Bill Plaschke, I'll turn to you. There needs to be no right or wrong answers in this. I'm just wondering, in the history of covering women's sport, you see people decry the salaries. And this is the 27th year of the WNBA. If you look at the 27th year of the NBA, 1973 or so, where was the league then? The games weren't on TV in the way that they are now. It was a different league altogether. To hold that against the WNBA now, so think about the revenue the WNBA has or hasn't made. How much of that is on the actual sport and the athletes playing it? How much is it the greater collective view of the world?
Yeah, it's funny, Tony. There's still a big gap there between Caitlin Clark and the rest of the WNBA. And as evidence to that, while her press conference, she was the number one draft pick, her press conference was a huge event. Cameron Brink, the number two pick for the win to the Sparks, her press conference was conducted with two other draft picks on a Zoom call yesterday. So the whole league is not up to Caitlin Clark's popularity yet, and I don't know if it will be. Because the bottom line is, do the viewers want to watch women's professional basketball? That's the bottom line.
Page?
Men viewers didn't want to watch the NBA. They had to bring in the Harlem Globetrotters to actually. The finals used to be on tape. Sure, this is going to go in. So, Professor, I totally disagree with you. There are going to be 15 Caitlin Clarks in the next 10 years. What happened after the Dream Team went to Barcelona? The growth of basketball internationally just took over. That's what we're going to see as a result of this. It's going to become overwhelmingly popular for young women, white, Hispanic, Latino.
Well, that's another conversation that men are having now, and this is invited into the conversation, are the black players of the WNBA carried and celebrated and cultivated the same way white players are? Because we could talk about the shoe deals. Through the years, there have been black players who've had them. Currently, it's primarily white players. Harry Lyles Jr., last word.
I just feel like the most important thing about this conversation, it shouldn't be a question about sustainability, because obviously the peaks are going to be hard to sustain. The key here is growth. The WNBA is in its 27th year. It's still a very young league. As long as we are making progress and growth and you keep seeing those measures being taken, as we've seen with women's college basketball the last few years, that is the path that we need to be on, because we have treated women's basketball as something that is less than men's, and that is part of the problem.
This is not a call out. When examples are stated like men did not watch, or do people support women's sports? And it's a broad, all-encompassing it's not helping anybody. You have to look even at the newsrooms. The newsrooms, who's covering these sports? And the newsrooms, and who's making the hires of who's covering these sports as well. Thank you for your time. Paige Blackstone will be our showdown next.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The future of the Coyotes, not completely known. Arizona won the finale last night. Heartfelt goodbyes. The team's social media posting, see you in June for the draft. Then they took that down. In the stripping of the arena after, there's video of a fan giving Shane Doan his retired jersey banner. All of the news on this coming out in the past week that a vote of the Board of Governors is happening today. But a move to Salt Lake City looks like it's right here. Woody Page, how will you remember the Phoenix, Arizona Coyotes?
I won't remember anything about them as a team, but I will remember they played in an arena with Arizona State that's called Mullet Arena, okay,
Woody,
really?
Woody,
and the
Woody.
One they played in before that. Okay, never mind.
No, don't be dancing on somebody's grave here. Go ahead, Kevin Blackstone.
Well, I just remember that this was the experiment in the desert, and in the end it just didn't work. And I feel bad about those fans. They should not have had to go through this just like this. Where was the prologue to this?
It came very, very suddenly. You're not wrong about that, Kevin Blackstone. We'll move on. Tampa Bay Rays, Pete Fairbanks blew a game. And then after, he said,
I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. Maybe
yeah,
give it to 10,
KB, where do you come
right
down on honesty and overall suck?
Of salt and then
oh, my goodness, this is fantastic. This is all you want out of your interview with an athlete or a coach. You want them to tell you the absolute truth, and he gave it to you right there. I almost felt sorry for the guy after a while. I think I would have shut off the camera.
Page?
Kevin, we appreciate honesty, but guess what? He can't come back and do it again tomorrow night, because then he'll be called repeat. What's he going to tell us then? That if he continues to pitch
all right. Like Woody, just stop talking right now, please. I'm going to have a moment of honesty here with Kevin Blackstone. Kevin, love you. But Woody just made the Hall of Fame. He needs his FaceTime today. He's going to win showdown even with negative numbers. Let's go.
Gosh. I want to thank the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame for this badge that looks like I won third place in the bobsled.
Oh, which is beautiful, but this medal.
Mini,
come on.
Mini, oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at that.
This plaque is incredible. But the theme of my speech last night is to what I say to all the viewers today. Persevere. Perseverance, I think, in this country with what's going on. Perseverance with what we've overcome in the history of this sport, I think is important. Just remember, always persevere.
Love you, Woody.